Jesus is the embodiment of truth, he says. For in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He didn't say, I am a way, I am one of the many truths, and I am an alternate life. No, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You want to save some time? Instead of trying to look for direction here and there and try a little bit here and try a little bit out there just to find purpose in life, I don't know where it is, Jesus said, I'll save you all of the running around. I am the way.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. A lot of people today are asking, what is truth? Can your truth be different than my truth? If you listen to one channel, you'll get one truth. If you listen to a different channel, the truth will be different. God saw that coming, so he gave us a standard that will guide us on this zigzag path of life. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, What is Truth?
Today we're going to talk about what is truth. What is truth? It's something that we all need to think about today, especially in the world in which we live, when truth is being diluted and it is actually being redefined. So let's talk about, as we get back to, what is truth? Ask anybody today, what is truth? And you will have a very energetic conversation. Especially if you ask that on a college campus, you might get some sneers and scorns and maybe even some funny looks. What is truth? Truth has fallen on hard times. And the consequences for rejecting truth has taken its toll on our society. And we see that all around us. Well, one of the most profound questions in the whole New Testament was not asked by a disciple. It wasn't asked by an apostle. It was asked by an unbeliever. What is truth? Asked Pontius Pilate. What is truth? And your answer to that question may well determine not only your future, but your eternity. What is truth? And 2,000 years later, people are still asking that. But what we're doing is we're finding alternatives to truth that fit more our palate. You'll find people that say truth is, number one, individual preference. It's however I identify with that, however I see it, that's truth to me. Even if it's not truth to you, it's truth to me. So truth becomes simply an individual preference without any common standard. Or it can be the cultural consensus, kind of join the program. This is what everybody believes. Don't make waves. Just jump in. Quit being such a stubborn person. This is how we all think. Or it could be just what the government and the media wants you to think. We have to remember that the media's goal is not to report the news. It's really to tell you how you should think about the news. And so it's really thought reform is what's going on. And they're basically needing to sponsor their paying customers. And so basically they bend whatever they need to so that they'll continue to get those advertisers. However, Pontius Pilate asks one of the most poignant questions. What is truth? I mean, really? What's truth? And he was saying that in response to what Jesus had just said. And in your notes, in that second one there, let's read it together, and it'll come up on the board. So make sure you clear your throat, and let's read it together. Are you ready? Ready? Yes. Go. The reason I was born and came into the world is to everyone on the side of truth listens to. Yeah, Jesus said, you want clarification of the truth? The Bible will be filled with that. And not only that, I will embody that truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So in this day, when you're finding out what's the standard, what's the plumb line, what's the question? What is truth? The Bible is called the Holy Scriptures. Why is it called holy? Because the Bible tells the truth. The truth about God, truth about sin, truth about man, truth about redemption and eternal life, about the devil. It tells the truth about everything. In fact, in 1 John 4, it says, by this we will know the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, right here. In fact, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And John said, Jesus said in John 10, the scriptures cannot be broken. It is immutable, indelible, infallible. For in fact, it says all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, training, and righteousness. So we know that God's word is the foundation. It's going to be that which remains in the end. It'll be the word of God. And the scripture says it in this way, thy word is truth and the sum thereof. The Bible just doesn't contain nuggets of truth. It says, thy word is truth and the sum thereof. It is the infallible standard of God, the plumb line of the universe. But you know what man's problem is? Our tendency from the beginning is to create our own truth. That we don't match up to a truth, we match truth to us. Now, where did that come from? The Democrats and Republicans? No. It came from Genesis chapter 3. It was in the garden with Adam and Eve that the devil was in the garden as well. And he came up to Eve and said, hey, Eve, what did God say? Oh, God said, I could eat of any tree in the garden except for the one right in the middle, that fruit. If I eat that, I will die. And what did the devil say? Oh, you will not die. No, you're going to live. That was the beginning of universalism, where everyone will be saved. God loves everybody. God forgives everybody. When you die, you all go to heaven. No problem. But what if something wrong happens to me? That's your karma. And they say, and just do something nice. Think good thoughts, and the universe will give you back good thoughts. So let's reaffirm our affirmations. I am all good. I am all good. I am all wise. I am all wise. We all live in Disneyland. Yes, we do. But all of that is from the garden. Because the next statement that the devil makes is, God knows that when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be open and you'll know good from evil. In other words, you don't need God to set the standard and you don't need God to tell you right and wrong. You can decide for yourself. Next statement, for you shall be like God. In other words, you be God. You decide what's right or wrong, not God. You can decide for yourself. And since then, millions have still bought into that lie today. The very first choice that was given to mankind, choose between the lie of the devil or the truths of God, we chose the lie of the devil. And when man made that choice, that began all the world's problems that we still have today. Buying in to that which is deceptive. And God calls the devil just like he is. I mean, he calls a spade a spade. He says that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies, and there is no truth in him at all. So we have to understand that. And the verdict? Well, it's in John 3:19. Here's the final verdict. It says, light has come into the world, but men rejected the light and loved the darkness instead, for their deeds were evil. You see, when God created us, he created us with a yearning for truth. But we made a choice that was offered to us by the enemy, and we chose the wrong way. See, God designed us to have truth as our ally because he said, you shall know the truth and the truth will. Truth was designed to be our ally, but when I live surreptitiously and I live in the darkness, now truth becomes my adversary. So I've got to cover things up. I've got to circumvent something. I've got to avoid certain things. Truth was actually designed to be your friend. But mankind has chosen poorly, and now it's become our foe. And so we have to circumvent stuff and keep things shadowed and not tell the whole truth, but just little teeny parts of it, nuggets of it. But we'll circumvent the rest because truth is no longer a friend. It's now our foe. In 1874, there was a man named William Ernest Henley that wrote a short poem that's well known in colleges today, but it flies right in the face of Scripture. You know how it says that the road to eternity, a road to life, is straight and narrow, but the road to destruction is broad? William Ernest Henley wrote a very famous poem called Invictus. Let me read to you this poem, just the last part of it. He says this: "It matters not how straight the gate, or how charged with punishment the scroll, for I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." And that's exactly what the devil said to Eve and Adam in the garden. You can decide for yourself what's truth, what's right, what's wrong. You don't need God to do that. Interestingly enough, many, many students have memorized Invictus as a part of their literature program. However, if you know anything about this man's life, William Ernest Henley's daughter, when she was 5 years old, died. It threw him into a deep depression. It wouldn't be much longer later that he would fall off a train and later die himself in desperate desperation and anger. And I thought, you weren't the captain of your fate. You weren't the one who controlled your own soul, were you? Only too late to find out the truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth, he says. For in John 14, 6, he says, "I am the way, I am the, and I am the life." He didn't say, "I am a way, I am one of the many truths, and I am an alternate life." No, he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." You want to save some time? Instead of trying to look for direction here and there and try a little bit here and try a little bit out there just to find purpose in life, I don't know where it is, Jesus said, I'll save you all of the running around. I am the way. Well, I'm going to find a little bit of truth in this religion, a little bit of truth in that religion, a little bit of truth in over here and this drug and that drug. No, no. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. I will give you eternal life if you'll follow my truth. Jesus is not only the embodiment, but he told the truth about everything. So today, let me highlight three things that he tells the truth about. Are you ready? In our time together, here are three things that we want to highlight. Number one, Jesus told the truth about sin. Jesus told the truth about sin. Let's read the scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:29. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own downward path. Interestingly, he created us to be virtuous, to have a yearning for truth. I mean, every one of us yearns for truth. We hunger for truth because it's hardwired into us. How many of us, wouldn't we want to know the truth about the COVID problem? We want to know the truth. Where did it come from? What's going on? We all want to know the truth about the vaccine. We all want to know the truth about the January 6th Capitol break-in. We all want to know the truth about what's going on around the world with the economy or inflation. Every single one of us would like to know the truth about the alleged election fraud that's going on in different places. We yearn for the truth. Why? Because God created us in the beginning to be upright, to be people that live and breathe within the framework of what's true. In fact, it's so important, God says it'll be self-evident. In the nature around us, if you'll look, you'll see. In fact, the Bible says it this way: the heavens declare the glory of God. I will post it in the skies. And without even a person being a believer, they'll know just inherently, viscerally, that murder is not right. Or lying or cheating or taking another's property. There's just something in us. Because if you recall, as soon as Adam and Eve made that bad choice and chose a lie instead of God's truth, what did they do? They hid from God. Why? Because inside they knew it was not the truth. See, God created us this way. And when we violate that, our conscience goes crazy. It's called the natural law. God set it in motion. So you don't have to be a full-on devoted Christian to believe that. Everyone understands there's a natural law in place. God says it's self-evident. In fact, by the way, even our forefathers, when they wrote the Constitution and Declaration, said it is self-evident that all men are created equal and that they have been created by their Creator to seek after life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So these truths are self-evident that all men are created equal. So we understand that it's self-evident. God put it around us. And when we breach that, our conscience starts to bother us. Well, you ask me, Wayne, why is God so hard on sin? I mean, does it, you know, like bother him or messes his self-esteem? Why is he so hard on sin? I'll tell you why. Because he loves you more than you'll ever know. And God did not create you to do well in sin. God created you in such a way that you function the best by his laws and his principles. Your family, your business, your future, your mind, everything. And when we inject sin, it starts to destroy us and corrode us. You are not punished for your sins. You're punished by your sins. Let me explain it this way. Let's say, and I'm going to kind of just draw a person here, and forgive my artwork, but those are fingers. And these are feet. Sorry, I have to explain what it is that I'm drawing. All right. Now, this person is just absolutely fine and healthy until you inject toxin or maybe a pathogen or bacteria, some kind of poison or a virus or other contaminants into his body. Once that happens, he is no longer happy, but he is sick. And if you don't resolve these things, he can become septic, and the result will be death. Or the wages of all of these intrusions, you pay with death. So he dies. However, the cool thing is God is up here, and God says, I will bring you healing. I will bring you wholeness. I will resolve all of this, and I will actually bring you health again. So when God says, I will help you in all of these things begin to disappear so that even though we've messed up, there is wholeness and healing. But what if this guy says, yeah, but I don't want God to do all of that. I think I can do it myself. When he chooses and believes a lie that he could do it himself without God, the wages would be death. Now, let's say that all of this is likened unto sin, that God created you and me to be healthy in our family, in our business, in our relationships, but we start to believe the lie that Satan says, you can have all of these things in your life, sleep with whomever you'd like to, do whatever drugs you want to. You can harbor hate and harbor bitterness and harbor revenge, and it'll be fine. You don't need God. You can do it yourself because you're the master of your own fate. You're the captain of your own soul. What is the result? Is death. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is, and all of us have sinned. All of us have these intrusions. God didn't make us like that. He created us to do well with his principles in motion, and he didn't create us to do well in sin. So when Jesus comes in to die for all of these sins to give us wholeness and health, that is a part of God that we must accept and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Yet the devil said to Eve, you can do it on your own. You don't need God to tell you right and wrong. You just decide for yourself. And then we give in to sin. But the wages of sin is death. But God so loved the... Yeah, see, the first thing Jesus tells the truth on is sin. The second, he told the truth about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you with an everlasting love. I mean, it's a love you don't even understand. And some people tell me, Wayne, I don't think so, because God, you don't know what I've been through. No, He loves you with an everlasting love. And if you were the only person on the earth, He would still have died for you. Yeah, but God does not know what I've been through. That's why I am like I am. Well, what do you mean? God's not a woman. He doesn't know the pain that women go through, abuse or rape or trauma from abortion or being in an abusive marriage. He's not a woman. How could He know? Another one says, yeah, and I'm a special needs person. How could He know the suffering I went through? Another one says, yeah, and I went through all kinds of betrayal and bullying and hatred in my family. He doesn't know that. Oh, yes, He does. How? The Bible says when Jesus went to the cross, He took how many of the sins of the world? Half? Oh, just the male sins. No. When He died on the cross, that woman that was abused, that pain He felt. He felt what it is to have trauma. He felt what it is to be raped. He felt what it is to be bullied and despised, called despicable and scorned, ostracized. He took that weight, the weight of the world. He took all the sins of the world. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us. He knows everything that we've gone through and yet without sin. Therefore, we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace and find help in time of need. He knows. He knows everything about us, yet loves us still. We have a love that's given to us that we have no idea about. God loved us so much that He looked down through the centuries and saw you and what you were going through and your own frailties and my own frailties. And He took that upon His shoulders from the future to the cross, and God judged Him. And when we come to the cross, we receive the judgment that Jesus paid for you and me. He paid the price so that when you and I stand before God, we won't go through that judgment. Instead, He will welcome us in. You see, we have a Christ who died on the cross. But here's the cool thing. We don't preach a Christ who's still on the cross. We don't preach a Christ who's still dead on the cross. He's not just a historical figure. No, we preach a risen Lord. We preach one who is alive and is alive for us today and shows us the way to truth and salvation. That's the God that we serve. And not only did Jesus tell the truth about sin, He not only told us the truth about love, He also tells us the truth about eternal life, about eternal life. Let's read the scripture here in Matthew 18:3, and He invites us to eternal life. How? By this. Let's read it. Go. Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. But wait until I grow up and learn a little more. Oh, no, he actually says you got to kind of go backwards. What? Yeah, unless you become converted and become as a child. The trust that a child has in their father or their mother, the trust that they have is the same kind of trust. Listen carefully. You can never enter the kingdom of heaven head first. You must enter heart first. That's a requirement. You see, sometimes we think we can intellectualize God. Once we figure all of this out, then maybe we'll, and what about this problem? What about that? I don't have a question here answered, and I don't have a question there answered. Yeah, I think I'll wait. Yeah, you're trying to enter head first. It ain't going to happen. You must enter heart first and come as a child. Because God always looks at our heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him. Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? He might be knocking at the door of your heart even today, because He'll tell you the truth about eternal life. He bids you come, but He waits for you to open the door and say yes. See, Jesus, in this topsy-turvy world, is still the way, the truth, and the life, and He'll tell you the truth about sin. He'll tell you the truth about His love. He'll tell you the truth about eternal life. I ask you, if you've not accepted him, receive him today. Make sure. And God has a great and wonderful plan for your life.
You've just heard a message entitled, What is Truth? By Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited space is available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.